Good morning. A few weeks ago, I did a sermon on the Holy Spirit, and at that time, I talked about how the Spirit works in our lives. We have some difference in point of view about that, and I am confident that would be the case if I were to discuss that this morning, because I believe that after I did the sermon on how the Holy Spirit works in our lives, there were a number of people that said to me, "Boy, that was good." And then under their breath, they said, "But what does the Holy Spirit do in our lives?" We have a hard time reaching out there and grasping the fact that the Holy Spirit is a who, not an it. When we begin to talk about the Holy Spirit, we need to be talking about a person. Just as surely as we're talking about a person of the Father and of the Son as He now exists again in heaven. And so when we start thinking about that, it's easy, much easier for us to grasp the concept of a Father, to grasp the concept of a Son over against the concept of a Spirit. Every one of us in this room, accountable before God, I think, believes that we have a spirit that dwells in this body. And we believe that what we call death is the separation of that spirit from the physical body. One of our friends, this past week, we had a note sent around to some of us at least, that our friend's heart stopped twice. When that heart stopped, did that spirit jump out of his body? And then when they jolted his heart back in, did that spirit come back into his body? How does that work? How does that spirit get in and out of the body? How are those precious little babies that we have? When conception takes place and that baby is growing inside the mom, whatever point you believe that baby becomes a real live person, how does God infuse a spirit into that fleshly body of a little baby? And not only that, how does that spirit stay in this body? Why can't that spirit say, "Excuse me a little bit, you're going to be sleeping, I'm going to go over here and do something"? How does that work? We don't know. God didn't choose to reveal all of that to us. But God did choose to reveal a great deal to us about the Holy Spirit. There is as much information in the New Testament about the Spirit of God as there is about God the Father. When you start reading the New Testament, you go through and you get you some kind of colored pen or you do something. If you want to just see how much information we have about the Spirit of God, you underline it, you circle it, you do whatever it is that you could do to signify so that when you turn a page, if there's something on that page about the Spirit, you know what it is. There's a lot of material about the Spirit of God. It's not that we can't know some things. Even when we acknowledge that we know some things, it becomes very difficult for us to think in terms of a personality. I'm not sure, I didn't mention this in the sermon at 8, but it may be because the King James Version used the term ghost. And our idea of a ghost is something that's unreal. Something that really doesn't exist. And so I don't know how we become thinkers about the Spirit of God, but I do know this. God shares a lot of information about the Spirit of God. And if anything is clear to me as I read and study the New Testament message about the Spirit of God, it is that the Spirit is a divine person with a distinct personality. It's not just some being out there somewhere that appears a little bit and then it's gone. It's a person that is eternal in its nature. And when I say person, I'm not talking about a physical body. I'm talking about a personality, how we describe persons. We talk about the personality. In John 14 and verse 26, the Bible teaches us that the Helper, that is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things to bring your remembrance all that I have said to you. So, as we're introduced to the Holy Spirit in this passage, Holy Spirit is a helper. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. Has the opportunity to bring to our remembrance things. And so we see the message continues as we take a look in chapter 16 in verses that we've read. Look again. Spoken of as a person. When the Spirit of truth comes, he, not it, he will guide you, but whatever he hears, he will speak. You see, he's not going to speak on his own authority, this text says, but what he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Look at what the Spirit does. The Spirit guides, the Spirit speaks, the Spirit declares, the Spirit glorifies, the Spirit takes and declares that which he takes. And so the Holy Spirit is talked about and described as a divine person. Now, in the next few minutes, I want to share some things with you that are not new. They are as important today as they've ever been to us as we learn about God, as we learn about what God wants us to know about the Spirit of God. God wants us to know this personality. He wants us to understand this personality in the best way that we can. None of us understands it as well as we would like. There are things about this personality that we have not been given access to by God himself. And so we know, however, a lot of things. And we can see the attributes that God provides for us of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a mind. And as we think about that, we're going to add some things that means with help from the Scripture. He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now, when I preached this sermon before, there were a few people who did not agree with what I understand this passage teaches. I believe the Spirit of God intercedes for us today. Some folks believe this was a time of miracles and that this is talking about a miraculous event. I believe it very well could have been talking about a miraculous event. But I believe that the Spirit is involved and intercedes for us on this day, and that he is at work. You see, he's a helper like he was in the first century. Helps in a different way than he did in the first century. We don't have miracles done today the way those folks saw miracles performed in the first century. But the Spirit intercedes for us today. And as we think about that, it takes a mind to stand before the Father, to stand with the Son and intercede for us. I told this morning of a day, a really sad, hurtful day for me, when I was 18 years old. I graduated from high school, had no intention of going to college, and I got a job. That job called for me to drive my employer's car and deliver what we worked at all day long and made. And sometimes at closing time, just about, he would send me all the way downtown. We worked way out east in Memphis on Union Avenue. And I would need to drive all the way downtown to deliver some things. And I was coming back one night from a delivery, and it was already past closing time. I was headed south on McNeil Street in Memphis. I was going to turn east, turn to the left on Union Avenue, rush hour traffic. There was traffic everywhere. Going on McNeil, coming on Union, unbelievable traffic. It was dark. And as I pulled out, the light turned green. I pulled out in the middle of Union, waiting for the traffic to clear coming from the south. And when the traffic cleared, I started to turn left. But an older lady had not paid attention to the light, and she stepped out onto Union Avenue. I didn't see her. Fortunately for me, I was just beginning to turn, and I hit her with the car. What an embarrassing, what a difficult, what a hurtful moment. Here is this lady laying in the street, hurt. Traffic everywhere stopped. People getting out, coming up to see what was going on. The police come, and the police want to know what happened. And fortunately for me, there was a medical doctor who was in one of the very front cars on Union Avenue right there and saw everything that happened. He interceded for me. He helped me by telling the policeman exactly what happened and how that this lady had walked out after the light changed and how that car after car kept coming through that intersection on a yellow light and even onto the red light. I am so grateful that I had someone to vouch for me on that occasion and intercede for me on that occasion. I am a young 18-year-old with no experience in dealing with anything like that. I believe the Spirit of God intercedes for us in some way. Can I tell you exactly how? No. I can only tell you that God says that the Spirit intercedes for us. And since the Holy Spirit has a mind, the Holy Spirit has the power of knowing. And as you take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul said, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. This morning when my sweet wife Jan was here, I made this comment. Very often in our relationship, Jan says, I know what you're thinking. I smile and say, tell me what I'm thinking. She's nowhere close sometimes to what I'm thinking. You see, she cannot know what I am thinking unless I tell her and reveal the depths of my heart and the thoughts of my heart. Now, she's been with me 50-something years. Do you think she knows sometimes what I'm thinking? Absolutely. But when she says, I know what you're thinking, and she tells me, and I say, you know, that's exactly what I was thinking. She would only know that for sure because I tell her. The Spirit searches my heart, knows me, knows my thoughts, knows my intentions, knows my attitude, and searches. And so this power of knowing, God knows us unthinkably so. And the Spirit of God knows everything that there is to know about God. Because the capability of searching the heart of God is there. So the Holy Spirit has a mind, has the power of knowing. And when we know, we have the power of choice. The Spirit has the power of choice. When they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. You see, here is an intervention. I don't know all the reasons why the Spirit said, whoa, you can't go. We may know some things. We may see what happens next and see that something really good came from it. But the point I want to make to you is this personality has the power of making choices because he knows and he has a mind to do so. And so when we start thinking about the power of choice, it becomes very important to think about that. But look at this. The Holy Spirit has the power to love. In Romans 15 and verse 30, Paul wrote, "I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf." You see, the Spirit of God loved the Apostle Paul. The Spirit of God loves the church. And so the Spirit has the ability to love just like you do. You and I have the ability to love. We have a mind. We can know. We can choose. And one of those great choices is to love. And God wants that. And we understand. If I said, "Do you think your mom loves you?" You see, you could tell me what you think, how you feel about that. And most everybody in this room would say, "Oh yeah, my mom sure loved me." You may with me say, "She beat me to death a few times, but she resurrected me with love. My mom loved me." And we understand what that means. And when we apply that to the Spirit of God loves you today just as surely as God, we think of the Father, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Spirit of God has the ability to love. And so the Spirit of God speaks. We saw that earlier as Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. In chapter 4 of 1 Timothy in verse 1, Paul said, "The Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and the teaching of demons." And so the Spirit is able to speak. Now, I don't believe that the Spirit comes to me today in any form to sit on my shoulder, as some people would describe it, to whisper in my ear the will of God. The Spirit has guided the apostles unto all truth and other men who wrote the Bible, and we have the Word of God. The Spirit has expressly spoken to us through the Word. But we're talking about a personality, one who is able to speak. And that's a very important thing as we think about God. The power of bearing witness. I've told you how significant it was to me back there a few days ago when that medical doctor bore witness about what I said happened, really did happen there in Memphis. The Spirit of God is a witness bearer. "When the Helper comes," Jesus said, "whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." You see, the Spirit of God introduced those first century men to Jesus, to let them really know Jesus. Did they understand everything they heard? No, they didn't. Jesus spoke directly to them several times and they didn't understand what Jesus was saying. But the Spirit bore witness to those men who recorded these great messages, for example, here in the book of John. The Spirit bore witness to these people about Jesus, and we have this information revealed to us about the Spirit. So that the Spirit is a person who can bear witness. And the power to intercede, I've already mentioned this. But if you look at Romans 8 and verse 26, this is a passage that we disagree on to some degree. But I believe the Spirit of God intercedes for us today. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." We need to keep studying. We need to keep thinking. But you see, the Spirit intercedes for us. When I think about the opportunity to know what the Spirit of God does, you see, it is the Spirit that gives life. just like my spirit that indwells this body gives me life. And one day, this spirit is going to leave this body. And my body is going to turn back to dirt, and the spirit is going to go to God who gave it. That's a reality. We see it almost daily in our life. Just like this spirit that indwells me gives this body life, it is the spirit who intercedes for you and creates within you the opportunity to have spiritual life. If you go back and read John chapter 3, in verses 3 through 5, you're going to see that unless a man is born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Because you see, the kingdom of God is the body of Christ. And it is the Spirit of God that gives that body, the church, life. When you go down into water, if someone were to respond this morning, and we took them back here to this pool of water, and they confessed their faith in God, and they were immersed in water in some way. The Spirit of God is working in our lives to wash away our sins. The Apostle Paul, when he was Saul of Tarsus, was told, hey, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. How are those sins washed away? You see, sin causes spiritual death. The wages of sin is death. You are dead spiritually if you have never been baptized into Christ. If you haven't confessed your faith in Christ and been born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That's a requirement. But when you do, it is the Spirit of God that infuses life into the body of Christ. You and I comprise the body of Christ, His church. And it is the Spirit that gives that body life just as surely as I have a Spirit that gives this physical body life. The Spirit, if I understand it, is at work in the creation of life. As we think about people being born into the family of God, because we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says. That Spirit has the power of searching. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10. Paul said, these things God has revealed to you through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. God knows your heart today. That means the Spirit knows your heart today. Because the Spirit searches everything, even to the depths of God. If the Spirit can search the depths of God and know God, surely someone that is no more meaningful than I am in the big view of things, the Spirit of God can search. And so the Bible teaches us clearly, if I understand it, that the Holy Spirit is a person just as surely as the Father is. The Holy Spirit is a person just as surely as Jesus the Christ is. And what we want to do is take passages like we've talked about today, study them, think about them, try our very best to understand as much of what God has revealed to us as we can. The very purpose of the next song is to encourage you to think about your spiritual life. If you've never been baptized into Christ, the Bible teaches that you are dead in sin. And you need the Spirit of God to infuse life in you by confessing your faith in God, repenting of your sins, and being buried with Christ in water. So that just like Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, you can be raised to walk in newness of life. If you're a child of God, but you've died spiritually, and the church is over here and you are over there not participating in because of sin, God wants you to come back. He wants your sin to be cleaned up as well. as David begged, wash me, cleanse me, create in me a clean heart. That's what God wants from you today. And so today, as we sing this next song, if you have something on your heart and mind that is troubling you and bothering you, and prayer will help you, come and let us pray with you. But if you are spiritually dead, please, please come and let us help you as we